We're going to worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings. If our ushers would come forward, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your presence with us here this morning, Father. And we ask that you just continue to fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. I pray that you bless these tithes and offerings and bless them, Lord. Multiply them. Multiply this church. Let us reach our community for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to a new era in the history of Pathway of Hope. I am your senior pastor, Doug Johnson. And I'm excited. I'm excited. God's doing some awesome things. One thing that God has given me over the last month and a half or so of praying for this church and for my role here and for everything going on, God has given me a new vision statement for the church. And I want to spend the next 3 weeks talking with you about this vision that God's given me for Pathway. And so I want to put this on the screen behind me. This is our Pathway of Hope vision statement. And I'd like us to, let's go ahead and just read this together in unison, because that's a great way to internalize things. Not only seeing it and hearing it, but saying it also is a great way to get it ingrained in your brain. So let's read this together, shall we? 1, 2, 3. We exist to glorify God by being a Spirit-filled people, empowered by Him to accomplish His perfect will in an imperfect world. So this is the vision that God has given me for Pathway of Hope. And I hope you guys will join me in this. And I wanted to talk about the first part of this vision statement today with you. We exist to glorify God. Before I get into that, Paul, our head usher here, he has some things I asked him to hand out to you guys. What these are is little cards. I think I have one here. I don't. These are little cards that have the vision statement on them. And they also have our series verse. One of the new things I want to do here at Pathway is for every sermon series that I do, I want to have a verse that is kind of the theme of the sermon series. And I want as a congregation to internalize this verse and memorize it together. We'll be reviewing it every Sunday during the service, and I want you to take this paper home. I want you to put it on your fridge with a magnet. I want you to put it on your bathroom mirror, or put it on your rearview mirror of your car, or whatever, wherever you'll see it every day while you're going about your daily life. You can kind of review it every time you see it, and hopefully we'll all get this verse down by the end of this 3 week series here. And what this is great for is every time that a situation comes along in your life and you don't have your Bible handy, or maybe you have your Bible handy but you don't know where the verse is that you want that applies or whatever, if you have verses memorized in your brain, you can pop them out. Like, for instance, our verse this time around, go to that next slide there, Debbie, is Romans 8:9a, and it says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." And what this is great for is, say you're facing a temptation in your life, and you are trying to resist the temptation, but the devil is just really hammering, he's really going after you, he's trying to get you to give in, he's tempting you. You can pop this verse out of your brain and throw it at the devil. And you say this, you say, "Satan, I am not controlled by the sinful nature, I'm controlled by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God lives in me." And we know from Jesus' experience being tempted by the devil that when you throw scripture at the devil, he runs away. So memorize this verse with me over the next 3 weeks, and we will have some ammo to use when the devil comes after us with those temptations. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." Amen? All right. I want to talk to you today about the first part of our vision statement for the church. We exist to glorify God. And a lot of people ask in their lives, whether they're Christians or not, a lot of people ask in their daily lives, why am I here? What am I here for? Why am I on this earth? Why do I exist? Why am I in Tucson? Why am I at this church? Why do I have this job that I have? Why am I stuck in the family I'm stuck in? You know, people ask those things. Why am I here? And we find the answer in Isaiah chapter 43, the end of verse 6 and verse 7. It says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, listen to this, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That's why we're here. That's why we exist, to glorify God. That's why he created us. We aren't here to make money. We aren't here to, become rich and famous, become the next Barry Bonds or the next, Rick Warren, Saddleback guy. He's a Christian. He's famous and rich. God didn't call him to be famous and rich. God called him to glorify him. That's why we're here, to glorify God. And I want to look at Psalm chapter 63 this morning, if you want to turn there with me in your Bibles. And this chapter breaks down real nice into three sections of how in our lives we can glorify God. The first way we glorify God is in verses 1 and 2, and it is, we glorify God by seeking him. Verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, they say, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. We live in the desert, don't we? Tucson is, it's the desert. Can you imagine driving 20 miles out into the wilderness, though, and being dropped off out there in the middle of nowhere, miles from any civilization, and having to find your way back, not having any water or food? Can you just imagine how you would feel after a couple of hours of being out there in the hot sun? You know that feeling when you're really, really thirsty? You know, and your mouth is dry, and you can't focus on anything except that thirst. You need that water. You have to have water. It's all you can think about. You can't focus on anything else. That's the way we need to feel about God in our lives. It has to be a need, not just a feeling. You know, a lot of people associate God showing up with goosebumps, you know, or a happy feeling or excitement or whatever. And those feelings aren't bad. They may be a symptom that God is there, but feelings go away. Feelings fade. You know, you can be happy for a while and then you're not happy. You can be angry for a while and then you're not angry. That's a feeling. Feelings fade, but our hunger and our thirst for God, that has to be a need. It has to be instinct, like when you're out in the desert with no water. It's your instinct that you need water. And that has to be our instinct in our lives, is we have to need more of God. More of him. You know, we sometimes say, I feel thirsty, right? I feel hungry. But that's not really a feeling, hunger and thirst. It's more of a need, because it's something our body has to have to survive. And it's the same way with God. We have to need God, because it's something that our soul needs to survive. We have to need him. So we glorify him by seeking him. It's like a, and you can never get too much. You can never get to the end of God. You can want more and more of God, and he keeps pouring himself into you and giving you more and more of him, and you're never going to reach the end because God is infinite. You're never going to reach the end of God. It's like a good book, right? You ever read a really, really good book, and you just can't put it down, and you're reading it until like 2 in the morning, and you're reading one page, and you're like, wow, that's really cool. I wonder what's going to happen next. And you turn the page, and whoa, that is great. Oh, I like that. That's cool. I can't wait to see what happens next. Turn the page. Whoa. Wow, this just keeps getting better. I don't know. Whoa. You know, you just keep turning the page. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And that's the way God wants to be for us. He wants us to keep wanting more of him. And every time he pours a little bit more of himself into us, it's going to be that much more amazing. The problem is, a lot of us are stuck on page 10 of the book. And we're happy there. We're satisfied with the status quo. Especially here in America, the church in America, we're so satisfied with the way things are and our traditions. And you got to do communion on the first Sunday of every month. And you got to sing 4 worship songs and then have a greeting time and announcements and the offering. And then you got to have a nice little sermon tied up in a neat little bow. And then you go home and live the rest of your life for the rest of the week before you come back to the next Sunday and do it all over again. Excuse me. We're so satisfied with the way things are that we're stuck on page 10 of the book. And God wants us to turn the page. He wants us to want more of him. He wants us to seek him. I was in Target on Friday night with my family, and we were looking at some shoes for our kids. And Isaac has these, we were trying on flip-flops for Isaac, you know, and so we put these little flip-flops on him, and I don't know if this is true about the adult shoes, but the kids' shoes, they're all tied together with this little string, right? So they, I guess, you don't mix and match them or whatever, I don't see, so they don't get lost and separated. But so these shoes are tied together with a little string where you can take little baby steps in them, you know, to see how they feel, but you can't really run. You can't get out there and run. You know, and so Isaac's walking around in these little shoes with the string on them, and he's just kind of hobbling along like this. And we said, okay, those look good. We're going to take them. And so we went and we cut the string that tied the shoes together, and we took the tag up to the register to pay for it, you know, and so that he could wear the shoes out because he really liked them and he wanted to keep wearing them. So he's wearing these shoes, and we cut the string, and he starts screaming. He liked the string. He liked him. He liked walking like this. He didn't want to walk with big boy steps. He didn't want to run. He wanted to walk like this. But there was so much more he could do if we cut the string. And it's like that in our relationship with God sometimes. We're so satisfied with just taking baby steps and hobbling along like that. We don't want to cut the string. We don't want to see what else there is. We don't want to see what else God has for us because it's different and it's change and we don't like change. God wants us to cut that string. Start running. He wants us to seek him. And if we seek him, truly seek him with every fiber of our being, then we bring glory to him. Second way we glorify God is by praising him. It's in verses 3 through 5. It says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I need water. When you have great news, you can't keep it to yourself, can you? Dana and Brittany, you guys got engaged recently, right? You guys are engaged to be married. Can you imagine getting engaged and just keeping it to yourself? Can you imagine just Dana and Brittany just go off in a corner by themselves, and he pulls out the ring, and she says yes, and they hug, and then they don't tell anybody? No, what happened was Dana called a big lunch thing with some of his friends, and they all got together for lunch at a restaurant, and Dana popped the question apparently when nobody was looking, from what I hear, and they had to redo it. But they were excited about it, and then it spread like wildfire because it's such good news, right? If an engagement, if the good news about that spreads like wildfire, what about the good news about God? We need to be praising him in our daily lives. Yeah, we can show up at church and sing pretty songs and praise him that way, and that's great. He loves that. But he wants us to praise him in our daily lives. We need to be talking about him to the people around us, because it should be such good news that it should be flowing out of us. It should be outflowing out of us to everyone around us. That's how we praise him. And when we praise him, we glorify him. Because we're telling people and we're telling him about the great things that he's done in our lives. And here's what that does. What that does is it ends up being a reminder of who God is and what he's capable of. So what happens is when you're going along with your daily life and you come across a situation and you don't know what to do, and you think back and you remember, hey, we were just praising God when something similar happened to so-and-so, and God did this and that. And it reminds you, hey, God can take care of this. That's how great God is. God can handle this. He's done it before. We were just talking about it. And so it builds our faith. It builds our trust when we praise him, when we remember the things that he's done for us in the past. We praise him for who he is and how awesome he is, and his greatness and his power and his love and his grace. When we praise him for those things, it serves as a reminder when we need those things. And we do need those things every day. Also, we glorify God by depending on him. The last six verses of this chapter. They say this, and if you have a pen, you can underline some of these words in your Bible that I'm going to tell you here in a minute, but let me read it. It says, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, underline help in your Bible there, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings, underline clings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me, underline upholds. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. See, back in point two, we were praising him, remembering the things that he's done in the past, and that then helps us to depend on him when the tough times come. David wrote this psalm, and David was the king. If the king, with an army of hundreds of thousands of men at his disposal, and servants by the hundreds, and people at his beck and call to do whatever he wanted them to do, if King David can depend on God for his daily life, with all that power that he had on his own, if he can depend on God, surely I can. Surely you can. We have less choice.
He had more of a choice because he had all that power. You need to depend on him. And what it's about, depending on him in your daily life, what that's about is the S word. I'm going to say it. Surrender. Got to surrender everything. And so many of us, we have these little pieces of our life that we want to keep to ourselves. We say, God, you can have everything else. You can have everything else, Lord, but you can't have this. This I'm going to keep for myself. Whether it's your job or your money or your time or your family, your children. It's something. Most of us have something that we're holding back. Saying, God, you can have everything else in my life, but you can't have this. I'm sorry. For God to show up in power in this church, we need to surrender everything. Give it all up. Give it all to God. Don't hold anything back. Doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to take it away. Abraham. God told him for years that he was going to have a son. Abraham waited for years to have this son who was going to be the father of a huge nation. He had this promise from God. Finally, Abraham receives Isaac from God. When Isaac is a little boy, God asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, take him up on the mountain and kill him. Abraham could easily have said, no way. You can have everything else in my life, God. But you can't have my son. Everything else, not my son. But he didn't do that. He surrendered everything. And God supplied a substitute. A substitute that took Isaac's place on that altar. But the point is, Abraham was willing. Are you willing to surrender everything to God? Are you willing to give it all? If you do, he's going to show up in power. But that's how we glorify God, by surrendering everything to him. Give it all up. Depend on him for everything in your life. The small things and the big things. You got to be willing to surrender it all. Are you willing to do that? So, we glorify God, in summary, glorify God by seeking him, by praising him, by depending on him. Let's pray. If there's anyone in this room today who may not know God as your Savior, if you want to give your life to God today, you want to depend on him for your daily life, you want to glorify him with your life from this day forward, if you want to become a Christian today, in a moment I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and make eye contact with me. And I'm going to pray with you. Nobody else is going to see you. Nobody's looking around. Is there anybody here on your left in the auditorium? Your left, my right. Anybody here who wants to receive Christ today? Just raise your hand, look up at me, make eye contact with me. All right. Anybody on your right, my left of the auditorium? Anybody here who wants to receive Christ today? Just raise your hand and look up at me. I do believe we have a room full of saved people today. Heavenly Father, we want to glorify you in our daily lives. Father, we want to not just come to church and sing songs about you and then go home and live the rest of our lives the rest of the week. Come back next Sunday. We want to take that next step, Lord. We want to turn the page in the book that is you. We want to experience more of you, Father. We want to seek your face. Come and fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. We're going to have prayer teams up front here. Anybody who needs anything at all, whether it's related to the message today or whether it's something in your life that you just need to bring before God in prayer, we're going to have prayer teams up front here while we're singing this last song. Come on up, receive prayer, and that would be terrific. Thank you.
Let your Spirit
come. Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now. Let your Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now.
Fall upon me now.
Let the rain fall down.
Let the rain fall down.
Pour upon my soul. Come and wash me now.
Come and wash me now.
Come and make me whole.
Come and make me whole.
Let your Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now. Let your Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now.
Fall upon me now.
Let the rain fall
down.
Pour upon my soul. Come and wash me.
Come and wash me now.
Come and make me whole.
Come and make me whole.
Let your Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now.
Fall upon me now.
Let your Spirit come. Fall upon me now.
Fall upon me now.
Let the rain fall down.
Let the rain fall down.
Pour upon my soul.
Pour upon my soul.
Come and wash me now.
Come and wash me now.
Come and make me whole. Let your Spirit come.
Let your Spirit come.
Fall upon me now.
Fall upon me now.
I dismiss you this morning with this, this word from Jude. It says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's glorify God with our lives this week, shall we? You're dismissed.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus.